time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Vintage Truth Podcast. Man, we are tackling a really tough subject here, talking about Christians and transgenderism. You know, this may end up being a four-episode podcast, just depending on how things go today. But, you know, I think it's important because we as Christians need to be discerning. We also need to be on top of the issues here and not be caught off guard. We need to be prepared to give an answer for the faith that is within us with meekness and with fear, and to do it logically, do it confidently. We need to know what we believe and not be caught off guard. I think this whole discussion, and that's why you can't just do it in one little podcast, you know, here's what you should believe, you know, and, you know, go off in your corner and, you know, just have a nice little life. I mean, no, we have to confront things in our society because in one way or the other, this affects all of us. You know, here's the thing too, is that just because we have a certain belief or we oppose a certain belief doesn't mean we always post that belief. I'm talking about social media. I mean, you don't have to post everything you believe on social media. You don't have to fight every fight that's there. I see all kinds of things that come up and down my feed on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those things. You know, most of the time I just walk away. I just go, you know what? That's not my fight today. If I need to have a conversation with someone, I can do that. But we're not here to argue. It's not about debate. It's not about trying to win some kind of argument. It's first of all about calibrating our minds to the truth of God, getting our hearts right with God. That's the number one thing. And then outside of that, how do we respond to the world that is becoming increasingly hostile to the Christian faith? And that's where we ended last time in John chapter 15, because Jesus was talking about the fact that we are not of the world. And if the world hates us, we need to understand that the world hated him first. And he chose us out of the world, and that's one of the reasons why the world hates us, that a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted Christ, they're going to persecute us. Verse 21 says, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake. And that's a very important principle. Hey, newsflash, okay? You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we did not make up this idea that a man is always a man and a woman is always a woman. Do you know that? You know, I didn't make that up. That's not in one of my books. I didn't just create that out of thin air. That's not just something that I thought. That's something God made up. And Jesus Christ, who is God, who created the world, who created mankind, who designed mankind with all of his intricacies, all the way down to his chromosomal makeup. Jesus, who said that, said the reason they're going to hate you is because of me. Because you're standing with me. You're aligning yourself with me. You know, this is the way it is today in our political debate. I mean, you know, you've got these, it's people who love Trump and then people who hate Trump, okay? And all you have to do is say Trump and you've divided. If you stand with Donald Trump, whether you like him or not like him, if you stand with him on any issue, on any decision, then you're going to be hated too. You're going to be lumped into, and it doesn't matter, you're a great person, you may be a great actor, you may be a great author, a great scientist, whatever. But if you say, I'm with Trump, people are going to hate you. Now, I'm not trying to compare Trump with Jesus, okay? Not trying to do that at all. But there is an inherent bias against Donald Trump. And there's also, for some people, a mindless allegiance to Donald Trump. You know what I'm saying? So it's like someone who said, if Trump found a cure for cancer, people would find a way to criticize him for it, you know? Well, in other people's minds, Trump can do no wrong. And here's the point. The point is, you're with him or you're against him. And that's just the polarization, politically speaking, of our society. Now, when it comes to the spiritual world, Jesus is saying, if you align yourself with me, guess what's going to happen? They're not going to love you. I don't see that anywhere in the scripture. It says, if you follow God, everybody's going to love you. In fact, Paul later said, and Timothy, for all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Jesus said here, they're going to hate you for my name's sake. Why? Because they do not know the one who sent me. These people don't know God the Father, and they're going to hate you because you're aligning yourself with God the Son. He says in verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoa! You see what Jesus is saying there? Jesus is saying that there is a time to speak out. There's a time to declare your loyalty. There's a time to identify yourself. There's a time to say, guess what? I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, the end, for life. And if you say that like the founder of Chick-fil-A did that one time, I mean, you just invited a hellstorm of criticism and hate just for saying something really innocent like that. Well, Jesus says, the reason they hate me is because I spoke about their sin. And now they have no excuse because now they know it's true. The truth's been, they're accountable for that sin. And when God leads you to speak out against something or to speak to someone about something, it may be a relative. You may be saying, you know what? Let me respectfully disagree with you on that, not because it's my opinion, but let me share with you what the Word of God says. And they may not like you for that. Jesus says, tough turkey. They didn't like me either. But if you're going to be mine, that's what you're going to have to do sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes you're going to have to speak out. And then he just concludes in verse 23, he says, he who hates me hates my Father also. So to hate Jesus is to hate God himself. And that's, why do I tell you this? I tell you that because a lot of Christians today think somehow they can do what Jesus was not able to do. They think they can be nice to the world, and you should be nice to the world, okay? They think they can show love to the world, and the world's going to, you know, what were we thinking when we slaughtered the Son of God for being loving? Man, you're amazing. Come on over. Let's have a party. No, he says, you're not going to be loved by the world when Christ was hated by the world. Why do you think that the Son of God would be hated and you not be hated if you align yourself with him and you act like him? Jesus tells us clearly the reason they hated him was not because he was loving, but because he exposed their sin, which is, by the way, the loving thing to do. So why do you think that your version of love towards homosexuals and transgenders is somehow going to trump Jesus' efforts at loving sinners? You're going to be a better person at loving sinners than Christ did. Who in the world do we think we are that we could do that? You think it doesn't apply to you. It does apply. It applies to me. That I'm going to draw the ire and the fire just for speaking the truth in love. In love. In true love. Talk more about what that means here in just a minute. But that's the deal, folks. I remember the first national interview I ever did, I was on Fox and Friends, talking about my book As It Was in the Days of Noah. And before I got home from the studio that day, I was in a remote studio in Memphis doing this. Before I got home from the studio, people were posting on YouTube criticism against me and saying that, you know, accusing me of greed and all this other stuff. All I did was get on there, talk about the truth of God, right? See, that's what happens. So people think sometimes in the church today, because of the way that we treat them, that these people who may think they're female, but they're really male. And in our minds, we think, well, they may not have responded to Jesus positively, these sinners, but they will respond to me because I respect them and I'll show them what real love is. Not going to happen, folks. Second thing, that we would need to realize as believers in Christ, and maybe this is a new concept for some of us. I know that in the church today, there's so much biblical illiteracy in the church today, with only 18% of Christians reading their Bibles every day and another 20% never reading their Bibles, and about 17% reading them once a week, okay? There's so much biblical illiteracy in the world today. How are we even supposed to know what Christianity is anymore? Half the people who go to church only go to church twice a month, if that, and they're not digging into the Word. If they're in the Word at all, it's a short little devotion, some syrupy little thing about, you know, speaking as Christ, telling you how wonderful you are. We need to realize this, as a believer in Jesus, is that Christianity has always been diametrically opposed to the world's values. This is not a new concept, okay? It's just that culture, I'm speaking about America right now, and some other cultures, but not all other cultures, because many other cultures were not Christianized and were not decent. and they were hostile towards anything Christian for centuries. But for America, okay, I'm only speaking for America. Typically, our mores, our values have traditionally backed up Judeo-Christian beliefs on the whole. So if you were a Christian who, say, stood up for traditional marriage in the 50s, or you stood up for heterosexuality in the 40s or the 60s even, you were not demonized by the mainstream media or the school newspaper or by whatever yesterday's equivalent of the Twitter feed was. But those times have now changed. We need to admit that. Culture and society no longer accept many of the most rudimentary moral values espoused by Christians. In fact, they're vehemently opposed to them. So if you align yourself with God's values as described in His Word and is backed up by His character and by His Son, you're going to be opposed. You're going to be hated. And you're going to have to make a decision about what to do in that moment, which we're going to talk about here later. Third thing. The discerning believer's response to this entire subject of transgenderism is a very important one. Because we know that transgenders are here, and that at least in their minds, they exist as transgenders and not as the sex to which God had assigned them at birth. So now what? What do we do? Well, here's something that, from a biblical perspective, which is where all of our information ultimately comes from. From a spiritual perspective, we need to understand that mankind has been full of sin since Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. And since that time, men and women, boys and girls, have expressed their sinful urges and desires and thoughts and philosophies in a multitude of ways for generations and generations, for thousands of years. There's been some overlap in the types of sins we've committed from century to century in some generations. But then in recent generations, some expressions of our sins have become more unique and specified. That's what we're talking about here today. It's safe to say that at no time in human history has there been such a growth of people claiming to be transgender. Not to say there hasn't been something in the past in Egypt or Rome or whatever, but nothing like it is today. It's caught fire, okay? So, we also know this, that from history, no civilization has ever sanctioned the marriage of homosexuals until recently, with the United States affirming and condoning that right in 2015, after which then-President Obama celebrated by doing a dance in the Oval Office. And then he lit up the White House in the rainbow colors of the gay flag. So the phenomenon's here. You're not going to escape that, okay? So here's the question for you as a believer. Are you going to lay down and roll over and surrender all of your beliefs in the name of love in order to accommodate people and to not to offend them just because they believe they're a different gender than the one they actually are? Is that what you're going to do? I mean, don't you see what's happening here? That Satan is doing what he's done for centuries? He did it with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they would not bow down to the statue of a godless ruler. He said, no, here's the agenda. Here's the rule. Get on board with it. And they said, we're not going to bow. And if we have to burn because of it, go for it. Roll the dice and take your chance. And you know the story, right? He did it in the first century when the Caesars proclaimed that whenever you pass by a statue of one of the Caesars, you had to declare Caesar is Lord. It's Kyrios, Lord. But the Christians wouldn't do that. Do you know why? Because they believed that Jesus was Lord and not Caesar. They had a different value system, a different belief system. And they said, we don't really care what you think is real. We know what's real, and we're not going to bow to your agenda. And what happened to them as a result? Well, guess what? The Roman world rose up, and they started building statues of Christians and honoring them and doing award ceremonies and telling Christians how wonderful they were for not bowing down to Caesar. And everyone loved them, and the world lived happily ever after. Amen. Close with a Disney theme song. You know that that's not true. What happened was they were arrested, they were beaten, they were ostracized, they were crucified, and they were thrown to the lions in the Colosseum. So let me ask you a question. This is a hard question, but you know, guess what? We didn't bring this on. The world brought this on and is demanding that we get on board. We were wanting to live peacefully with men. The world brought this on. But let me ask you this question, because this is where we are. Are you willing, as a follower of Jesus Christ, to be unpopular? Are you willing not to get any likes on your Instagram? Oh, how terrible that would be. Are you willing for people not to like you outside the body of Christ because of the stand you take on certain issues? This is why some Christian celebrities refuse to take a stand, by the way, on some of these issues. And I could tell you the names of, you'd know these names. And it's because they don't want to lose their popularity. Are you willing to be unpopular? Are you willing to be outed? Are you willing to be hated, demonized, criticized as your brothers and sisters were in previous generations? Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that as Christians, Jeff, you don't realize this because you're just, you know, you're just all biblical on us here. You don't realize we need to be the most loving, understanding, and compassionate people on the planet. Have you forgotten that? Have you forgotten that love is the answer? Have you forgotten all we need is love? Have you forgotten the song Imagine? Well, I've tried. Yeah, we're supposed to be the most understanding, compassionate, loving people on the planet. You're correct about that. But you might not be clear about what those words actually mean. See, there are many reasons why a person chooses a certain sinful path or ends up creating an identity that is contrary to the one which God desires for them. Their family components. You know, their family life may have caused that. This is where the compassion comes in, by the way. You look at a person's family, you go, whoa, I know why you're so screwed up. Look at your family. I know why you don't know who you are, because your parents never helped you understand who you were. I know why you're off into such weirdness in life. It's because you don't know your Creator and the one who could love you more than anyone else in the world. That's part of our compassion. Now, there could be, as I've mentioned earlier, you know, gender confusion. There could be certain hormonal imbalances in a person. But all this points to just simply, it affirms the biblical fact that we as a human race are broken. We're born broken. We're born dead, according to Ephesians chapter 2. We're like a product that comes off the factory line that may look okay on the outside, but on the inside, there are some components that simply just don't function right. It just doesn't work. And yet we still try to function, and we end up looking really weird in the process. But you know what else? And it's part of understanding people, okay? Part of our compassion, part of our understanding. We're also born, all of us, with an inherent desire to resist God, to reject Him, and to run from Him. And to run from everything He stands for, to reject that. This is our sin nature, folks. It's a part of every one of us, including myself. No one is born a homosexual or a transgender any more than someone is born a thief or born a murderer. We are all slaves to sin according to Scripture, but we all still have a choice in what we do and what we become. We get to choose. Personally, I'll be honest with you, I don't expect people not to be thieves or not to be homosexuals or not to be transgenders or adulterers or liars. You know why? Because I know that we're all born with that desire to worship ourselves. And I expect the human race to be like the human race is going to be, sinful. And to do what they've always done, pursue sin, live for themselves, and reject God. So when these things happen, I'm not shocked or surprised anymore. I just go, well, that makes sense. It's what they would do if there's no God. Allah, the days of Noah, Genesis 6. It says that every thought of every man, please, verse 9, was continually sin, 24/7. Crazy, right? So the whole transgender thing issue doesn't surprise me, but it does concern me. We are all sinners, again, who are broken and sick and condemned and darkened and damned before God. But watch this. That is exactly why Christ came. He came to save sinners. He came to save sinners. Just like you, just like me. You know, and your issue may not have been some sexual deviance. Your issue may have been you're trying to make straight A's so that you could feel good about yourself. When you realize that you couldn't fill the emptiness inside your heart, your pursuit of sin may have been to try to find a husband or a wife that would fill the emptiness inside you. or through drugs or alcohol or some other way, you know? We're all searching because we're all darkened in our minds. And in that sense, we can have compassion and understanding for people who are confused, misled, deceived, deluded, disturbed, and yes, on their way to damnation. And so we need to have that sense of compassion. That's how we can really identify with those people and to let them know that, you know what, I'm no different in the sense that I need a Savior just like you need a Savior. Hey, what about if they tell you you must call them by their preferred pronoun, though? We're going to talk about that next time and finish up this issue of transgenderism on the Vintage Truth Podcast. I hope you'll join me. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.